right. We are plugged in and ready to go. And it's 21st of April, 2018, and you're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam, and everything goes over on the website, so check it out, krazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z, always lots to go through over there, and podcasts go to iTunes and Facebook as well, and you can check out Open Source Truth if you'd like to, another great website we're doing, and if you want to, if you're a listener, follower, you want to write some articles, send them through to thekrazfiles@mail.com. Try and send them through as a file, and we can put them up as an article. Let me know of any links or anything you want to have in those articles or videos or anything as well. That's a good way to get the public involved. And we're ready to rumble. John Rappaport is back today for a podcast. I haven't spoken to you for a little while, John. How are you going?
Okay, pretty good. Spring is here, finally, on the east coast of America, so feeling pretty good.
Not freezing your balls off?
No, not today. You can never tell, but it looks like we're finally there.
I wonder about the weather a little bit. We've had warnings for Australia for our winter, starting from around June or July. They're even talking about blizzards and terrible high swells and rain and destruction.
Wow.
Here on the coast, on the east coast, which is Sydney area. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But you got a weird kind of freeze over there in the US in places, so you'll need a break from that. Let me get my your blog up, John. You've been pumping out the articles, and I will say to our listeners, generally your newest articles, John Rappaport's blog, and no more fake news articles, John, they go up on krazfiles.com. I put them up pretty quick. You email them through, so they seem to go very popular. And I'm always running into them, as usual, which is great. So we're getting the word out there as well. And you go on great big shows like Alex Jones, but I'm still not seeing a certain few websites, so-called health websites, picking up any of your kind of big pharma articles.
I don't know exactly why not, but hopefully that will change.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, it's a strange one. But what we'll do as usual is we'll just go over your latest, but I would probably want to wind back. I've got them up here, just saved them last night. Wanted to go through some of yours. This one's from April 13, and they're such important articles to go over. They really are, and I get a lot of good feedback on them from folks here in Australia, because we're going through this whole medical dictatorship or tyranny or whatever the hell you want to call it. It's very bizarre what's happened in Australia over the last few years. Very strange, and it's getting stranger in a way, but we are hoping that we might see the other end of this, John, sometime soon.
I hope so.
We'll see. We hope it's getting a bit clearer. There's been a few good changes and positive things, I would have to say, in parts of Australia, but I seem to be living in the worst, New South Wales, so we watch here and Victoria. See how we go. This article I like, though, John, is one thing I wanted to continue with. This year is the deep state. What about elite television news anchors? I really like this article, and of course I put it up, and you're talking about something that I study here as well, about these news TV shows every night and these news anchors that they put on that seem to gather the public's trust. And we have that here. It's amazing. And when you start researching and looking at it, it really is incredible, because, you know, you can watch the the news shows from the morning, early morning to mid-morning to lunch, to early afternoon, late afternoon, you know, 7, 8 o'clock news, even through the night, and on every single channel in Australia, they're all the same. They have the same head movements, the same hand movements, and they talk the same, and their same stories seem to be just over and over again in the same way that they're manufactured and presented to the public. And we had a great YouTube video as well not long ago from America, where the guy was actually showing all the news shows from the USA, and all the news presenters saying the exact same things. So it's a really strange thing, but I noticed that. But you did a bit of an article on this, about these news anchors, so we might talk about that a little bit, because it's something that not many people talk about.
Right.
I've talked about with you a lot, and this brainwashing. And I always ask how they're able to get away with this.
Well, for one thing, they have a lot of money behind them. And they have government support because they're really partners with the government. But the other factor for the big anchors, the national TV anchors, is that they are the best actors that the networks can roll out. The whole point is we want somebody who's believable. We want someone who can act the role and seem to be objective, while at the same time engaging enough, just enough, to draw in the public's attention. You've got to start, I guess, by understanding that the networks are positioning themselves as official news, as the source of real news. And so they build their sets, and they light the sets, and they try to present their newsrooms as elegantly as they can to show that they have a certain level of prestige. And then the anchor comes on, and he delivers the stories of the day. And his job, as I said, is to appear completely objective and credible. A certain note of warning, you know, things are happening in the world that you need to know about because they are threatening to some degree, and there is controversy and conflict between X and Y and so on and so forth. And so this pose of objectivity, while the anchor is also trying to be as earnest and sincere sounding and appearing as possible with all the money and the power behind him. And this is the news. This is what it is. This is all that it is. It's a pose which is sold to the public. We are your source of information. We do the right kind of work in making sure that we're delivering the facts to you. So you can look at it as a kind of theatrical presentation, where every dollar possible is spent in order to convince the viewer that this is the real thing, and it's the only real thing as far as news information is concerned. And it's been successful, obviously, for a long time. It's breaking down now as never before. And especially in the U.S., one of the reasons that it's breaking down is because they don't have the same level of actor to choose from. They're trying to go younger, to be more appealing. But the current major anchors in America are just not carrying the ball. They're not delivering the goods they're not as convincing. And of course, the society is fragmenting, so people are getting their information from all sorts of different sources at the same time. But it's the rhythm, the pace, the tone, everything that an actor does. So people should think of this like a casting director who's sitting in a little theater and he's auditioning people for the job. And he's looking for that certain factor. Does this guy have the it so that the public is going to believe him? Can he act the role successfully? And when they find somebody that they think can do it, they promote that person, and eventually they put him in the number one slot as the national television news anchor. That's what they're doing. They're casting a role. And that's really all that it is. So there are various elements, you know, the anchor has to be dignified. The anchor has to let out a little trickle of sympathy here and a slice of compassion there, but not too much, just a little bit, just enough to let the audience know that he's a human and he cares. He can't appear to be relentless in seeking the truth. If he does that, then he's a reporter. He's not an anchor. So you don't want that quality. He can't, of course, dive below the surface on any of the stories that he's reporting and try to get to the bottom of it or the truth, the real truth of it. That's not where it's going. And he also knows that by his position as the anchor, he has access to all sorts of other official sources, corporate and government, who he can bring on and get statements from, and even interview briefly. And these other people, these other sources that he brings on, they are automatically credible to a lot of the public because they represent government positions or corporate positions. So they're looked at as experts, as leaders. He'll bring on medical bureaucrats to make pronouncements. It's all a show. Because, for example, if the anchor decided to bring on someone who isn't from the official list of reliable sources, someone from the outside who has no face recognition or name recognition with the public and who has uncovered something very controversial, that would not be acceptable. Can't do that. You're going outside the boundaries now. That's not permitted. So these networks are building this kind of space and spending, as I said, a great deal of money to convince the public that when they deliver the news, it's the only news there is. This is the big stuff, the important stuff. And there's no doubt that it's real and factual and up to date. That's their whole piece of theater that they do. And up until maybe 10 years ago, it was tremendously successful as brainwashing. But now it's falling apart. People are going elsewhere for their news. The anchors themselves aren't as good actors as the older ones used to be. And they're in trouble. They're in tremendous trouble. So one of the things that they've done is on some networks, they just drop the pose of objectivity altogether. And they slant the stories in a direction that they want everybody else to go, and it's pretty obvious. It's not really very hidden. And so what happens then is that the viewer recognizes that he's looking at a slant. He's looking at an opinion. He's looking at a piece of propaganda. And what the networks are banking on is that their particular slant, their particular piece of propaganda is going to find a big audience out there that already agrees with that. That's kind of their new strategy. And in some cases it succeeds, but by and large it's eroding public confidence in the news. That's what's happening.
I'll just read this little bit, John, from that article. The anchor isn't hell-bent on uncovering the truth. For this, he substitutes a false dignity. Therefore, the audience can surrender its need to wrestle with the truth and replace that with a false dignity of its own. The anchor takes propriety to an extreme. It's unmannerly to look below the surface of things. Therefore, the audience adapts those manners. So it's what you kind of did here with that article, looking at the anchors, is you pulled back the curtain of the anchors a little bit more, which is that's why I really like the article. And it's do you get in America? Do you seem I guess in Australia it's different because you know we don't have the population that you do and the amount of cable TV channels and all of this, but seems to me they probably used to go with the older news anchors every night up there more. For years and years they would do that. But they're kind of in the middle now. Maybe sort of guys with a certain looking face. Maybe 40s, something like that.
Early 40s.
Like a baby face.
Yep, baby face guys. They don't know what they're doing anymore.
It's funny.
It's not working. You know, it just isn't working the same way that that it used to.
The public's got to trust them, though, right? Because they tune in every night at six o'clock, for example, and they work and they come home, and that news anchor's up there delivering what you said. Yeah, but it's interesting that you said that they can't delve too deep or act like they're too into the stories, and that's how they do it. It's kind of right in the middle. It's not here or there, but there's definitely a delivery system and the way that they act, but they definitely have these guys up there for years now that I've seen. It's been many, many years, and I have heard that, you know, Sydney trusts their news anchors, you know, and they have them come up and they deliver the truth, and they're working for you, the public, and all the people out there watching every night at six and tuning in. You've got a friend in us, you know, and you've got that same anchor up there, rain, hail, or shine. Plugged in with you to deliver you your news, and they always say your, you know, like it's your news, you know, and they've definitely got an amazing pattern, which I do see in other countries as well. You know, they start off with some local stuff, or, you know, fires or things might be out of the ordinary to happen, but then they go into the political spectrum, and then it'll be into some sports, and then they'll have a little bit of gossip, and then it'll be the weather at the end, and then they plug out, and it's the same pattern every night.
Every night,
We see it with the U.S. Bombing of Syria now, with all this gas and all this stuff that he supposedly used on his people, and they're demonizing the Syrian regime, you know. And glorifying the Americans and the British and all of this. And It's the same game plan again with the anchors and the way it's delivered. It's the same propaganda and the same thing going way back even to 9/11 when they go into countries. And it's amazing. It really is an amazing system, John, because they can do pretty much whatever they want, and the anchors and the TV networks deliver the propaganda to the public to make them buy into it.
I have to say that the very fact, though, that they talk about the trust, the people that you trust us, we trust you, this is your news, etc., etc., all this nonsense, that's fairly recent in terms of the long history of the news. And the fact that they keep saying this, they're protesting too much. They're very concerned is what's really going on there. They don't want to lose that trust factor, and they feel like they're on the brink of losing it, so they keep blabbing about it. The same thing happens over here, but on local news it happens. We're part of the family, of the community, and we give you the news you need, and we know what you want, and you trust us, and we trust, you know, all of this garbage that has nothing to do with the news. It's just fluff that they present because they're not feeling very safe. They're feeling like they're standing on the edge of a cliff, and the people could turn around and walk away at any second and just say, we're not interested in this anymore. We don't believe you anymore. The spell is broken. There was a point during my early career as a reporter where, you know, there were some little hints and tidbits that maybe I could take my career in a direction where I would be, quote, doing the news and presenting the news. And I wasn't interested in that at all, ever, from the beginning. But I talked to a few people about it, and I could see that from the very beginning, whatever interest they might have had in me for that, it was all about grooming. We could groom you this way. We could shape you this way. They didn't say it in those terms, but you got the message. You know, we're not just interested in you because we think we want to take you the way you are, but you have a certain quality that we could develop. And what they really mean is exactly what I've been talking about. That they thought that with the right encouragement and so forth and the right kind of money, that I would be willing to sell myself to them and become an actor, you know, doing the same role every night. And of course, I wasn't interested in that. But it's showbiz. And you get that feeling in talking to these people. It's show business. That's what the business they're in. And people should be aware of it. Mm. Now, there is a hypnotic effect on the viewer, for sure. Part of it is electronic, but part of it is also the anchor because of the way he talks.
Yes.
You know, and you get in that sort of, it's not cheesy and crass, but it's there. And if you listen, you can hear it. It's a certain style. And it has a light hypnotic effect on the audience.
Certain tone in voice. I noticed some of the reports.
Voice, intonation, timing, yeah. Pacing, rhythm, that kind of control, the way the person articulates the words and emphasizes certain words and over other words. It's it's the same, again, as an actor would do if you handed him a script and he studied the script. He would be underlining certain words. He'd be rehearsing and practicing and trying to get into that basic rhythm. Mm. That's where it starts. What's the rhythm of this character? that they want me to portray every night on the news. What is his pacing? Is it, how slow is it? How fast is it? How does it change? Within what parameters does it change? Where are the boundaries? All of this is part of the instinctive material and arsenal of the actor. So when he's playing a news anchor, that's what he's doing. He's figured it out to the way the audience will best respond. And they still do. No question about it. It's breaking down. We're in the middle of chaos is where we are. Most people don't recognize it, but some people do. The official news is breaking down, and independent media are moving in. And they have a completely different approach. So the hypnotic spell is cracking and falling apart because people have wised up to the way it works. They may not understand it exactly. They may not be able to spell it out, but they can sense it. This guy is being a little too friendly. It's like he's trying to sell me something. What? Why is he doing that? The other guy, 10 years ago, didn't do that. Why is this guy doing that? I don't like that. Sure you don't like it because it's waking you up from this hypnotic sleep that you're in. You're recognizing. It's like you feel like you're on a car lot and some guy's trying to sell you a new model car. And you recognize almost immediately that the way he's talking to you, that's his act. The traditional television news audience doesn't want to become aware of the act and the actor. Just like when you go to the theater to see a play or watch a movie, you don't want to become aware that these are actors. And if they're not good enough, that's exactly what will happen. You'll become aware of that they're acting. So the chief quality of the news anchor, just like any other actor, is we don't want the audience to know that he's acting. He's got to be good enough so that they believe that he's for real. This is who he is. He's not acting a part. But my experience with the news over the last 35 years of working as a reporter is that it's showbiz. And if you look for it, you'll see it.
I agree. Yeah, that's right. It's it's a bit crazy here. I think in Australia, these the news anchors, they're pretty smooth. Some of them almost have like a 50s look with the hair gel and the way they do it. It's very, very strange. It's I think the news is something that people will turn to. I think it's hopefully people are starting to look a bit deeper, as you said there, John. But some of these chat shows and morning breakfast shows and people that are getting up there, for example, pushing the vaccination issue, and they've done no research into it. They never offer any facts, and they get up there on TV chatting with their coffees and calling parents ignorant and if they don't vaccinate and bad people and need to have their children taken. We've been through this a million times with you. And these attractive blonde women and guys with the smirks on their face and their suits too tight up around their neck, these people, hopefully we can start seeing the end of them. I don't know if we'll ever see the end of the news. It's pretty slick, but I wonder John, with some of the bigger alternative news outlets, are doing very well, but there's a whole lot of people you wonder how you can compete with the news, because they just make it look so damn good, you know, every night.
Well, I think you have to be able to wean people away from that. In other words, what we're talking about now is something that people should really study. You know, this is like graduate school. This is like getting your PhD in hypnosis. To look at the news in a different way. In other words, turn on the biggest and the best, the most trusted and reliable national news on television every night in Australia. But look at it from the point of view of, what are they doing to convince me that this is reality? You know, just that's kind of the inquiry. Look at it from that point of view, and you're going to see all kinds of things begin to happen. You're going to become aware of things. For example, how long do they do a story? What's the outer limit? Have a stopwatch with you. Well, let's see, the longest story they did tonight was 2 minutes and 48 seconds or whatever it is. Why? Well, because they figure if they go on any longer that people are going to become disinterested. They won't be able to follow things. And furthermore, on the other hand, they may actually begin to think about what's going on. You know, the longer you spend on one story or one subject, the more people who are looking at you can begin to either A, just tune out, consciously tune out, or begin to think about what's going on and what you're saying. Gee, he said this. I don't know whether I really agree with that or not. You know, people begin to, so they don't do that. They have studies. They have reports. They have their own behind-the-scenes researchers figuring out how long the story should be. And they have good people in the sense of veteran people who have a very good instinct for that kind of thing and say, no, this is too long. Let's cut the story here. We don't have to go deeper into this whole business here. A minute and 40 seconds for that story. Just cut it right there. And the anchor takes a look at that and he says, okay, fine. That's fine. Because then we can fit this story in. Ah, yeah, right, okay. So that's one of the things you begin to notice when you look at their best product every night with a question in your mind, what are they doing to convince me that they're giving me reality? What are they doing? Because they're doing it, you see. It doesn't just come together, you know. People think, well, the news comes together. And this is the news and the anchor and the other people, whoever they are, they're just reporting it because it's already the news. No, they're making the news. They are shaping it, building it, and constructing it. And when you ask that question that I indicated, and you look at the news every night, you begin to see things. Well, look, what are the colors on the set where the anchor is sitting? Take a look at that. I don't know about over in Australia, but over here, they tend to be kind of, you'll see a lot of blue, which is sort of a restful color. You're not going to see a lot of reds and oranges and yellows on the set, because that tends to alert people and wake them up or cause some degree of reaction. you know, physical reaction as well as mental reaction. Now, there might be a few such colors, little pieces here and there, but mostly take a look. What are the colors? Because to see, all this is intentional. The whole thing is created. Understand that. They are picking and choosing which stories to do. They have people who write the stories. They're on teleprompters. The anchors are reading the stories off the teleprompters. They have scheduled reporters in the field in far-flung places who are issuing their reports. How long are we going to go to Joe out there in the desert where something is happening? Yeah, I think we can do that in about, 50 seconds is probably the limit on that. Yeah. In fact, maybe we should knock that down to 35. Just give them a quick, because there's not really that much going on. Okay, you know, this sort of thing. They're building it all. They have psychologists working for them, trying to figure out what should the set look like? How far away is the farthest distance that we want the audience to feel from the anchor? In other words, what they would call the long shot in making a film. How far away is the long shot? Is it 15 feet, 20 feet, 25, 28? What's the right distance for the longest shot we're going to do? And what's the closest close-up on the anchor? How far away, how close do we want to get? And they work on this and they figure it out. What's going to be the most convincing to the audience? And the music. What music are we going to use to bring on the news and to take out the news? All of that. You know, it's showbiz. This is, and if you look at the news that way, you begin to become aware of many things. So to me, what we're talking about here is very important in waking people up and urging them to try this experiment. Look at the news this way. And you'll begin to discover all sorts of things in many different ways. I've written about this before, and I think I mentioned it in this article. This whole thing about going to reporters in the field, and now we take you to Jerusalem, you know, and Joe Smith on the scene at the Temple Mount. And there he is standing there, right? Shirt sleeves. Holding a microphone, is something going on there, right? Now, why do they do that? That costs money to do that. They do that because it gives the viewing audience the impression that they're all over this story, that they're going to go to great lengths to get you what's really happening. Whereas other, say, independent media don't have that kind of money to be able to afford that. But they can. Oh, they're on top of this story. Look, they just went to Jerusalem. There's their reporter standing there telling people what's going on. Wow. Now, this doesn't necessarily register consciously in the viewer, but it does unconsciously, especially if they do it four or five times in the course of one broadcast. And now we go to Sally Subotov in London. Wow, London's a long way away. You know? And there she is standing wherever, you know, on the London Bridge or so, whatever it is, standing out in front of 10 Downing Street, you know, to give that impression that they are going to extreme lengths to give you reality. Okay. Now, what's the truth about that? The truth is that these reporters in the field could be broadcasting from the McDonald's down the street from the studio where the anchor is. These reporters out there are not investigating and digging up something on the spot that is really groundbreaking and different. Not at all. In fact, in many cases, they're taking their script from people back in the anchor studio. Recognize that. And here we are in Baghdad. And oh, you mean to say that this field reporter in Baghdad is walking from house to house down the street alone with a cameraman and a microphone and going into houses and talking to people and digging up reports of things that nobody else could get? Of course not. That's not happening. He's out there in Baghdad ripping copy off of an Associated Press article that he could have read in any city or town in the world, for the most part. It's all a show. It's showbiz. Recognize that.
Those reporters live there.
Watching the news.
Live there, John, don't they? Wouldn't they? They would live in London and...
Yeah, or they... Sometimes they send them. They send them there sometimes. But, you know, less and less, I would say, because they're more and more in a money crunch, these networks, than they ever have been before. So, yeah, frequently they have a reporter that they can tap for certain types of stories who already lives there. So that reporter gets up, depending on where we're talking about, walks out of his apartment, gets in his car, and drives a mile to a place that's prearranged, gets up on a rooftop somewhere, you know, 15 minutes from his apartment. He's got on a certain kind of shirt that looks like he's at work. He's working. He's not wearing a tie and a jacket. And they set up the camera, and he does his little bit. They fold it up, he gets back in his car and drives home. Nothing happened except showbiz.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Gee, I can't believe we're going to do a whole podcast just on news anchors. It's ridiculous, but it's. I felt it was so important to go over this.
It is important. It's very important.
So symbolic as well. It was interesting you were mentioning the colors and the lighting. Yeah, we get a lot of that. The soft kind of foggy blues with the city skyline in the background. It's amazing how a lot of McDonald's or Coke will use the bright red and yellow to make you... eat their products and stuff, because as you said, the red is that exciting sort of color. But I notice with every single news channel now, they've got that foggy, hazy kind of soft blue in the background, with the big round TVs behind them, sort of with the skyline and stuff going on, sort of that nice picture of the skyline.
Exactly.
So it's crossing to the reporters, they always looked a little bit too perfect to me. Sometimes when there's storms and things, they'll push them out there and they've got an umbrella. You know, they're getting whacked by the rain a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's your turn to do the hurricane story.
That's right.
All right, so put them out in the street, and the umbrella's blowing all over the place, and the wind is blowing, and he's wearing this rubber... you know, parka and whatever, but he's out there. So ask yourself, well, what the hell is he doing out there? Why does he need to be out there? Why does anybody need to be out there? They could show shots. They could set up an apartment and just open, you know, have the window, shoot through the window and show you what's going on. Well, Bob, look at down the street here. We're seeing the flood is overcoming on people's lawns and... Yeah, over there, it's up to the top of the staircase, and the wind is ferocious out here and whatever, and I hope you're safe, Jim. Oh, yeah, I'll be all right. Don't worry, you know. And I mean, they could just cut in footage from some old hurricane. It would be the same the same basic story. It's nothing. But it has an effect. That's the point. So you talk about these hazy blue colors and so forth. Don't think for a second that that just happens. That somebody says, oh, okay, let's see, I don't know, we'll make it blue. No, there's a lot of thought and planning that goes into that. What kind of blue? Which shade of blue? Do we want to make it a flat blue, a glossy blue, a hazy blue? Well, we've got Sally over there. She's a genius with this stuff. She says, well, here's three different ways you could set it up. Let me show you here on the screen. Oh, look at that one. Yeah, that's very nice. Very nice. Yes, yeah, yeah. Very good. Let's try that out. Let's get the anchor in here and have him sit in a chair and let's light the studio and see how, oh boy, that's just terrific. Very comfortable. Very comfortable. And the reason that we're talking about this is because this is what hypnotizes the majority of the population of planet Earth into accepting, quote, real information. This is the way it's done. So if you start to take it apart and look at it, people start to wake up. That's why I hope, you know, this podcast gets out as far and wide as possible, because people will start to think about this. Okay, well, let me try this experiment. Let me look at the news every night, just like Rappaport suggested, with the idea, with the question, what are they doing to convince me that this is reality? Let me look at it from that point of view, instead of just slumping down on the couch and, the news, okay, what is happening over here? What happened in Syria? Instead of that, sit in a chair with a straight back, watch this thing, take notes. What are they doing to convince me that this is reality? And jot down every possible thing you can see, because that is what they're doing. They're doing it on purpose. They're spending all sorts of money, and they're raking in all sorts of advertising money based on their ability to hold the viewer's attention and convince him that this is the only reality. This is one of the reasons why they're so pissed off at independent media, because they recognize that it's destroying their reality. They don't have the same effect anymore. People don't like that. It would be as if you go to a show where there's a stage hypnotist and he's doing his act, and his act consists of hypnotizing three people up on stage and trying to convince the audience that he can make suggestions to them, and when he wakes them up, that they're going to do certain ridiculous things, you know, all that sort of stuff. But in the middle of doing that, somebody in the audience stands up and says, how do we know that these three people aren't stage props and actors? And then somebody else stands up and says, listen to the hypnotist. He's hypnotizing you. He's making you believe by the way he speaks and the sound of his voice that he really is hypnotizing these people. Well, that wouldn't be very nice, would it? I mean, for the hypnotist. He would get very upset at that, don't you think? Well, that's, in a nutshell, what's happening to major media. They're being interrupted by independent media. And this whole business of major media accusing independent media of passing along fake news, I mean, that is what they're doing all the time, major media. So they're just transferring what they're doing and putting it on to independent media.
It's perfectly fine for them to do whatever they want. But then when alternative media do the same, go on the same avenues, you're looking at Dr. Google and all of this and your crackpots and conspiracy nut jobs and all of this. They instantly try and bring down your credibility and all of this, but, what they do is so much worse, and they've been doing it so much longer. But this is such an important thing that you're talking about here for people to look, start looking deeper there. And I think that video I mentioned as well, John. I know you saw that showing on YouTube video showing all those American TV shows, TV news shows, all saying the same thing. That was incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible.
You simply have so many. That's what I mean. I mean, we have just a few channels with the news here, pretty much, unless you've got cable. Our general TV doesn't have a lot, you know, maybe a handful of channels, but you guys have such a huge variety of news shows and stuff, and when they show it like that, just how all these different anchors and personalities and people are saying the same thing. They're not
saying the same thing in the same words. And why is that? People, wake up. They are getting scripts from their headquarters. That is to say, what you saw in that video with many, many different newscasts and the anchors saying the same thing. Okay, well, those local TV stations that have their own news, they are owned by big companies that own multiple local TV news shows. So those big companies send out, they wouldn't call it scripts, they would call it directives or whatever they would call it, memos, saying, we want you to say this on the news. It's important. And so the word goes out and everybody salutes and everybody obeys at these local TV channels. That's how it happens. Now, the job of all those anchors is to make people believe that this is, you know, their own reporting. These local anchors, when of course it's just a directive that comes down from the top. But they're supposed to convince the audience that they are, because otherwise, you see, the anchors could say, all right, audience, we have a directive here from our corporate headquarters, and I'm going to read it to you now. Well, people would say, well, what are you talking about? What do we care what you got from your headquarters? We want the news. That would be a terrible mistake if they did that, right? But it would be what's actually happening. So instead, they're actors, and their job is to present this as if it's their own news. In Cincinnati, in Pittsburgh, in Chicago, in Las Vegas, in San Francisco, where, you know, all these different places just happen to have come upon exactly the same thing, in the same words. That's their job, is to make it seem that way. What do you do? Well, I'm a puppet. Really? Yep, I'm called an anchor. Oh, why is that being a puppet? Well, because for the most part, here in Indianapolis, the really important stories come down from the top, and I just read the script. I see. Yeah, I'm a puppet, but I'm a good puppet. Now, one more thing that I mentioned in the article, there's a long tradition of this in the news that goes back to the dawn of time when you have, wherever you have rulers of a territory, you have the news. And it used to be that the most trusted people to deliver the news were eunuchs, literally eunuchs, because first of all, they were loyal to their masters. You could count on that. They were loyal to their rulers. And the impression delivered was that because a person is a eunuch, that he has no personal desires of any kind. So he's just giving you the facts. He has no slant, because in terms of what people normally take for living in life, he has no life. He's a eunuch. And the eunuchs delivered the news. They were the trusted ones, right? Well, look at the persona, the character of some of these, the big time TV anchors. They are presenting themselves in a similar kind of way. You see, I'm devoid of passion. I don't have these impulses. I'm not relentless. I don't give you tremendous emotion behind what I'm saying here. It's all within a very narrow spectrum. I'm giving you neutrality, fact. I am the eunuch. It's very similar. Very similar. In fact, if you really want to take a look at the Roman Church, the priests are celibate, very much like being a physical eunuch. Why is that? Because then they would be trusted, right? If you believe they're actually celibate. I mean, that's a whole scandal that Australia is very familiar with, and so is the rest of the world. But outwardly, at least on the surface, that's the brainwashing. Well, you see, the people that we put out there to have contact with the public, to take their confessions, to lead them to salvation and redemption, these people have no human appetites like the rest of the population. Therefore, they are not swayed by personal impulses. They can give it to you directly as God would have intended, because they're not any longer human in the sense of most humans. Same deal. Same deal. So what happens to faith in the Roman Church when people begin to discover scandals all over the world that have to do with priests who are supposed to be celibate sexually abusing and raping children? Well, the whole thing begins to break down. So what happens to major media news when people begin to realize that these anchors are just actors? Same deal.
You're saying it's like a religious type sermon, these news reports every night.
Yeah, like very similar, but delivered, you know, with authority, not like a fire-breathing preacher would do it, but, you know, just like a Gregorian chant, you know. Here's the sacred truth. This is reality. Not going to step out of character here. Not going to suddenly get very passionate about a story, a scandal, whatever. Just going to deliver the truth.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Don't want to shake him too much. Don't want to wake him up too much. But it's Well, yeah, incredible. It's a subject I'm very interested in, John. I'm glad we spent the hour going over your article there. It's amazing. Shows how important your articles are and how much you can get out of them. And we could probably do another hour on it, really.
I'm sure we could. Yeah, I'm really glad we did this, because, you know, I had no intent on doing this when you brought up the article, and it's probably the most complete presentation that I've ever done of the news and what's really going on and how people should approach it in order to be free of it. Take your children when they're old enough to understand what's going on and bring them into it. Say, we're going to do something different tonight with the news. We're going to look at this and think to ourselves, what are they doing to convince us that this is all we need to know? Or if the kids are old enough to understand it, what are they doing to convince us that this is reality, the only reality? And, you know, let the kids get into the discussion. Well, look at that over there, you know. Look at this. Did you see what he just said there? How he's, you know. I think it's fantastic. The kind of thing that you could explore. This is real education at a deeper level when you start getting into this.
I don't know. I look at the big American news. It's a lot different to here, although it's the same approach always, the same way. But some of those big US stations, you know, the Fox News and everything, I actually find it quite creepy, to be honest. And they seem a little bit nuts, a bit insane. And you're getting that here, but some of them, you know, the lipstick and the teeth and the guys with, look like they got wigs and the eyebrows and sure. They're starting to look, looks like a little bit of a carnival kind of
thing. It does, doesn't it?
A little bit mad.
Especially when you get to the news talk show or the news opinion shows.
But
over here, at least, you have to differentiate between that and the actual newscast. Which on most networks you get early in the evening with the designated national news anchor. Who is that? You know, in America it used to be Walter Cronkite and Chet Huntley and Dan Rather and people like this. You know, they were the kingpins. That's the newscast. That's what they did every night. Now, when they started to proliferate here onto cable and even maybe network now and then, and do these news talk shows or opinion, actually they were beginning to break the hypnotic spell on their own. Because now it was debate, argument, back and forth, opinion, and it, you know, that doesn't work. I mean, it draws in the people who already believe in you and your political opinions, yes. But as far as the general audience is concerned, this is not the news. The news is, and tonight, the news. Today in Moscow, meanwhile in Washington, that's the news. And the people you really have to be looking at are the biggest ones who are not doing local news. They're doing the national news. And that's where that's the best they can do in terms of hypnosis.
Yeah, that's right. I think a lot of those opinion shows, they're making fools of themselves. And
they are, aren't they?
They look like idiots. But then, yeah, as you see, you've got all this carnival, sideshow, circus freak stuff going on with these mad people on TV, you know. And these these women, they look like, you know, hyenas, and they laugh like hyenas as well. They really do have that hyena laugh, and they all cackle up there and they go on. But then you have that steady you know, every night at 6 or 7, that, as you're talking about, that mainstream news, the news comes on with the anchor, and it surfaces out of all of this, and it comes out of the middle, you know, and it and everybody gets sucked back into that, and they sort of, I don't know, maybe it's done in that way. Maybe they create this carnival sideshow, John, on the sides, And so people get entertained by it and they don't take it too seriously. But then this, you know, this the nightly news surfaces out and everyone says, well, this is the real deal. Here they are. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's said, yes, it's got the trumpet kind of dramatic music that comes in at the start and the colors, as you said, and it's all, they're all working behind the scenes and they make that their big show.
That's right.
Indeed, yeah. It's amazing.
That's the one. That's the one to watch. And that's the one to say, what are they doing to convince me this is reality? That's the one to watch.
You probably get that music as well. The
dramatic
music. They have different sort of ways they do it. It's quite a... Yeah,
yes. They pay a lot of money for that. Oh, yeah. And they try out behind the scenes different ones. No, that doesn't have quite enough drama. Let's look for something, you know, bigger. We want something bigger. And, you know, they work at it until they finally get their theme. And the theme, the musical theme, listen to that. Be aware of that. What is the message that is sending to the viewer? What are they trying to convince you of with that music? They're trying to convince you that this is important. You know, this is important right now. This is big. This is a big presentation right now. The dramatic nature of the music. But they don't want to go over the top to where it just becomes ridiculous. No. So, but they just want to get it right. And they strive for that, and they work at it, and they have musicians and composers, and they pay for it, and they get it.
The news anchor too always has a little pen and a piece of paper that he holds the pen with the paper sort of on its side, and he's usually got a little laptop there to the right or left side of him as well that he never uses. And then when it goes to break, you just see a couple of seconds where he'll have a little click or he'll write something.
I guess
that makes people think at home he's writing notes about his own story that he's delivering. Very important.
Yeah, that's right. He's working. He's working.
He doesn't stop. And then you when they do the weather, you know, you see the weather lady and they finish just those final few seconds before it cuts out and goes to a show or whatever. They come over and they converge together like they're talking. Conversation,
right.
You know.
Yeah, as they're exploring deeper aspects of things, we don't know what that is and all of that. Yeah, it's all staged. It's all part of the thing.
That's why, yeah. Well, I'm going. Yeah, it's very good, John. That you've done that article, so important, because I hope people can start doing this and have fun with it as well. Don't take it too serious.
Oh,
sit down and watch the news every night
and
have a look at the show. Have a look at all the set and the colors and the music and how they act and what they wear. It could become a bit of a sport for you to break this system down.
Yeah.
Because,
absolutely,
and see through it a little bit more and start turning it off. You know, you can have fun with it as well. I think it's like a comedy show. I know they do report on some serious things and some things that happen to people. They do that in a certain way, you know. But it's crazy stuff. You never hear many people trying to sort of break it down. But it's still one of those things, John. That as we were just saying, you know. No matter how stupid the people think this whole system is, the news is one thing that they seem to trust, and that's a lot of people. You know, relatives, friends I know, people in general, they really do kind of go like a moth to a flame or a bee back to the hive, back to that news report, that steady news.
And that's
report.
Why it's so important. That's why what we're talking about here is so important, because that's the last stand.
That's
their last backup position. If we have the news, if we control the news, we're okay, no matter what else is going on. Well, why do you want chronic liars to be in charge of that? So the fact that it's beginning to break down and break down a great deal is a piece of very good news. But more and more people have to become aware of this, and this is the way to do it, as I've been suggesting.
It's all about
and
awareness.
Anybody can do it. Yes, with that awareness. No.
It's all awareness, isn't it? It's amazing. You don't need any money. You don't need any anything special. You just need to become aware of this system around you that's being built around you. And, you know, once you start to see it, it's amazing. It really just starts crumbling. You know, it's amazing. It starts crumbling, and it reveals itself, and it looks really silly, actually. And as the system knows that people are doing this, and as you said before, John, then and the system itself starts crumbling, they start to act out kind of desperate, and they maybe that's why they seem crazy, because they just,
I think so.
You know, yeah,
that is why, because they're desperate to control reality, and as they feel it slipping away from them, they make more and more mistakes, and they look crazier and less convincing, and they do things that really make no sense at all. And so the show biz becomes less professional, and so you see through it more easily. You say, well, gee, I paid $100 to go see this Broadway show in New York, and it was supposed to be fantastic, but gee, they're starting to look like a bunch of amateurs. Well, it's starting to happen to the news. So,
yeah.
Good luck with that, folks.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. I think, yeah, absolutely. Anyway, great show today, John. I'll just mention your new article that I'm going to put up. Incredible. So, huge drug pharma money changes hands in high-level financial deals. Very, very, very important article. Yeah, there's not many people writing articles like this to do with the pharmaceutical company and this filthy money that's changing hands. And we can tie all the media and our politicians, of course, into all of this. So very important for, even though you're coming from America writing this, you know, it's so important for us here in Australia when we're looking at this dirty changing of hands, this money and lucrative money in pharma and selling their drugs and their vaccines. So it's a great article, and I'll put that up today. So people need to read and share that. John, that's a whole nother podcast just to do that article.
Yes, it is, really.
That's frightening when you're mentioning some of the figures here. I'll put that up today for folks to read. That will be a big one. And great to talk about the anchors today with you.
You too. I really appreciate the conversation. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, John. And we'll chat again sometime soon. I'll keep in contact, and I'll put this up today. And take care. And I'll keep breaking down the news.
Okay. You too. Thanks. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Thanks, John Rappaport. NoMoreFakeNews.com. John Rappaport's blog as well. Great guy. Breaks down the system so we can all see it for what it is. And thanks for listening. Take care.